and welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And we've got a great show for you this week. We've got a lot of major news to catch up on because there's just so much stuff going on in technology and cybersecurity. I'm going to answer some audience questions, and this week's deep dive is the 5 laws of cybersecurity, which happens to be a TED talk that I gave about a month ago or so. And so I hope you guys enjoy that. Stick around, and as always, we're going to start with the news. And in upcoming technology news, we're going to be talking about 5G. Now, if you're not familiar with 5G, this is the successor to 4G, which is pretty much sitting on all of our phones right now. So my phone, through my carrier, I get a 4G signal. You know, gives me pretty solid internet speed, all that kind of stuff. But we are moving into the era of 5G. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because a lot of the carriers are starting to roll out test markets for this. Now, one of these markets is in the San Francisco Bay Area, just north of Sausalito. It's a small town, and they AT&T was going to put in basically what they call small cell towers. Not large cell towers, not the massive ones, but small ones periodically throughout this population of about 15,000 people or so. And the town council voted it down. And the reason why they voted it down is because a lot of citizens wrote in, roughly 1% of the population. Again, we're talking about a very small, small community here. But they wrote in to basically say they are afraid that because this 5G is really going to turn up the signal, it's going to make it everything more powerful, that is also going to increase the radiation within their community, therefore making their just basically giving them more radiation. That would be the way to put it. And so they voted it down to have these small cell towers. Now, these small cell towers emit less radiation, but you're also putting them more frequently through a population as opposed to larger cell towers that can blanket a wider area, but obviously give off more radiation. So we're going to see where this goes with this, but I mean, if we're looking at it, aside from the natural radiation in the earth, I mean, we have radiation all around us from, you know, wireless signals that we put in our house or provided by us, you know, by our internet service providers. We already have 4G. It's not like that town isn't already running, an entire cell service. It's not a dead zone up in there. So we're going to see where this goes. And I think we're going to see probably a slew of scientific studies coming out before the massive push in 2019 to get 5G out there. I'm planning on upgrading to 5G, and you know, we'll see what that does, I guess, to my long-term health. But you know, I've been using cell phones since, you know, the beginning pretty much of the cell phone era, and I think I'm okay. I haven't grown a third eye or a second head, you know. But you know, we'll see where this goes. But we may see a push like this frequently throughout the nation. Pockets of this rejecting the 5G technology based on fear of health issues. So that is your future tech 5G news of the week. And in Apple news, if you are using products to protect your iPhone, one, good for you. There's not many out there. One of the biggest ones is called Adware Doctor, or Dr. Adware. There's also Dr. Malware as well, and a couple of others that have been out in the news lately. And the reason why they're in the news is not because they've been so amazingly awesome at stopping Adware and Malware and all of this. Again, there's very limited options. It's the fact that if you have these installed into your device, into your iPhone or your iPad, they are pretty much recording every website you go to and then sending all of that critical and sensitive information to a server in China. And so these apps are spying on you. Now, this obviously is in violation of Apple's privacy policy. companies. Apple also has what's called a sandboxing system that's supposed to prevent apps from doing things like this. And clearly that sandboxing system failed in this situation, because there are a slew of apps that have been found recently and removed from the iTunes store, but that doesn't mean they're removed from your iPhone or iPad. So if you've got them, you've got to remove them. This is Adware Doctor, Dr. Malware, and a couple of others. But here's the kicker to the whole thing. This is what makes this interesting, because the publishers for these are all Chinese names. But these apps, when researchers are looking at them as to where they're going, so they're phoning homes to servers in China, but what they are doing or being owned by or being run by is actually Trend Micro. Now, if you're not familiar with Trend Micro is one of the major players in antivirus for things like Windows and Mac and all of that. They've been a known player. They actually used to have a very symbiotic relationship with Cisco, which is a massive company as well, for threat management. So Trend Micro is a major player, but Trend Micro owns in some way, shape, or form, and is related in some way, shape, or form to apps that are literally recording what you're doing website-wise and sending it back to Chinese servers. So shame on you guys, Trend, for being part of this. And that is a serious violation. Obviously, more information is coming out. And, you know, I'm personally hoping that Trend Micro was simply hijacked and is not actually involved in this. But from everything I've read, all signs point to them being involved, and that's a serious problem. So make sure you're reviewing your apps. And again, when it comes to iPhone and iPad, there's just not a lot of options for antivirus, because all the good antivirus makers, the ones that actually work well, were removed by Apple in 2015 because of their new sandboxing system, which is obviously failing us. And we've had multiple examples over the years of this happening in terms of failures in some way, shape, or form. So Apple people, heads up, remove Adware Doctor, Dr. Adware, Dr. Malware, all that kind of stuff. Those are actually violating your privacy very, very deeply. Even if they've been removed from the App Store, they have to be removed from your device. So that is your Apple news of the week. And in You Don't Own That news, we're going to be talking about a guy named Anders. Now, if you're not familiar with Anders, you probably don't know him. He is one of the billions of people out there on the planet. But what you might have in common with Anders is that you may also be downloading music, movies, books, etc. from iTunes or Amazon or any one of those. And when you go ahead and you click purchase, you automatically assume that the movie, for example, in Anders' case, we're talking about three movies, that you own them. You click buy. You didn't click rent. You clicked buy or you clicked purchase. And what happened to Anders was Anders purchased three different movies. And one day he went into his iTunes account on his phone to go pull up and watch one of said movies, and they weren't there. And so Anders sent a message to Apple support saying, "Hey guys, this is Anders, and we have a bit of a problem here because I purchased three movies and they're not showing up on any of my devices. They're not showing up in my iTunes account. You know, what happened to my movies?" And Apple responded and said, "You know, thank you for the message and all of that, but basically, you don't own the movies. These movies are basically licensed by the company that the publisher that licenses them. You know, it's Paramount or Sony or whoever it was. I do not know the publisher. But if the publisher decides, for whatever reason, to alter the movie, remove it from the iTunes store or Amazon or whatever, basically that doesn't survive on you. You might have bought it, quote unquote, but you don't own it." And that's obviously a serious problem, because legal experts, and one of the legal experts that I was reading about said, well, basically, no publisher is going to like walk up to your door, knock on your door and demand that you give a physical book back. You know, if they're no longer selling it through Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore, that's not how that works. And so if you have purchased things like books, movies, music, and all of that, you may not own this. This may actually be based on the publisher's will or whim to work with iTunes and Amazon and all of that. Now, I mean, the only good news here is that most of these publishers are not going to be pulling from major sources, but obviously in Anders' case, that ended up being the issue, which puts it back on the table. And I think that if you are clicking purchase, not rent, then even if that publisher decides to pull all of their content from whatever platform you're on, you bought it, you own it. That your copy of that should survive whatever disputes, disagreements, realignments, going unders, you know, whatever that is. So heads up out there, because if you are buying, like I am buying, media, and I buy quite a bit of books, through Amazon and Kindle and all that kind of stuff, I would hate to see my library pilfered because one of the major publishers basically decides to get into a dispute or say, you know what, screw this, we're going to go do our own thing and now compete with Amazon. And so I'm just, going to lose half my library? That's a problem. Because obviously we've spent quite a lot of time, money, and effort building these things, and these are usually things that we enjoy. We assume that we bought them, we keep them. Now, the industry recommendation right now when it comes to this stuff is to go buy an actual copy of this. So if it's a movie, go buy the Blu-ray, and a lot of Blu-rays come with a digital download option. So you have the physical Blu-ray disc, and then you can go download it from the manufacturer as well, or the publisher, and you keep a copy of it. That's obviously convoluted, and one of the reasons why a lot of us shop online is because oftentimes just buying the movie to stream to your devices or your TV is cheaper than buying a physical disc, and it's also less cumbersome. So that's a problem that we're seeing right now, and it's starting to rear its ugly head. And so hopefully we'll see some traction on this, but that's where we're at. I mean, that's what's happening with that. And feel free to write Amazon or Apple or any one of the other publishers you use, because that is seriously not cool. And that is your You Didn't Own It news of the week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in terrifying news, imagine fake news so realistically that overwhelmingly the population couldn't discern fact from fiction. I mean, and this is what we are moving to. Now, if you're not familiar with deep fakes, these are very much on the horizon now, and they're starting to become prolific. Now, what a deepfake is it's a video that basically has somebody that shouldn't be in the video basically acting in the video. So in other words, one of the most famous videos of this was made by a comedian named Jordan Peele. He did it of President Obama, and he had Obama basically sitting there and talking as Obama would. Same mannerisms, looked like Obama, sounded like Obama, but it was actually Jordan Peele that was recording what Obama was saying. And if he had not made that known, there's a lot of people out there that would have thought that former President Obama was making disparaging remarks and all of that to people. And this is the horizon that we're starting to see ourselves get into, which, I mean, one, it's absolutely fascinating. We've seen some scams already in this, where hackers have been able to basically put your face into position over an adult actor or actress, and then send you a message saying, "Have you seen your adult video on Pornhub or whatever it is?" And they're trying to either bribe to get you out of money, or they're going to take you to that video that's actually going to download an infection onto your computer. But we are moving into a new era where we may be able to see, or we are going to see rather, state-sponsored actors using this. So imagine if, let's say, Russians, because we talk about Russian hacking in this country quite a bit, let's say the Russians were able to make a video of President Trump, or let's say the opposition candidate saying very disparaging things or being put in a very compromising position. Without a video forensics expert to look at this, a lot of the population is not necessarily going to realize that it's fake. And so if you have, let's say, the 2020 presidential run, and it's, President Trump versus, whoever the candidate on the Democrat side is, and let's say a video comes out of that Democrat, saying that they, like to kill puppies or something like that, there's going to be a good chunk of the population, especially older people, and they vote in the largest voting group in the nation, are going to see this, say, well, oh, candidate X likes to kill puppies. I mean, this is what we're coming into. And how we are discerning fact from fiction is going to be a lot more difficult. Now, if we are applying this universally, what's going to end up happening is, as these become prolific, through, let's say, state-sponsored hacking or dissemination of information, the cry of both the not guilty and guilty alike is going to be, it's not me in that video. And so then how do we discern that? You know, how do we discern what's real? Maybe there is a legitimate compromising video out there of somebody, and that person's going to say, oh, it's a deep fake. It's not me. It's not me. You know, that's clearly a spoof by the Russians or whoever, you know, and it actually is that person. You know, or maybe it is. Maybe they are completely innocent, and now everybody thinks that they like to kill puppies or, you know, whatever that horrible thing is. This is the world that we are emerging into, and this is the world that we have to combat. And we have to combat this with awareness, with education, with critical thinking. This is the most important thing that we have. If we are looking at other nations, and I've written on this, you know, for Forbes and other outlets regarding Finland, in Finland's 2015 election, they had an entire information warfare campaign on their own population on how to look for a good or bad article, how to critically think, how to look up and check sources, how to challenge information. And the problem that we have is that more and more people are getting their news from friends that they consider safe on social media. And so things are not being checked. And if one person is posting a fake article, let's say disparaging somebody that shouldn't be disparaged for a reason that doesn't exist, people are going to retweet that. They're going to reshare that. They're going to link that. They're going to do all these things because they believe that person. You know, and I see a lot of people, like in my own social media, you know, take my stuff and spread it out, which is why, because I have a public presence in the radio and videos and writing and on stage and the TED Talks and all this kind of stuff, I work very hard to make sure that my sourcing is accurate. And even I make a mistake, and I'm more than happy to put that out there. Hey guys, I screwed up. I said the wrong thing. There's a retraction here. But a lot of news sources don't do that, or if they do, it's buried on, you know, page 22 of the newspaper, or, you know, on some other article on a website, whatever that is. And so we have to be critical. We have to be questioning everything that we're reading, including you guys questioning me. I mean, that helps to keep me accurate. That helps to keep me honest as well. So it's got to be a nationwide push. And if you are listening to this show or reading what I write or watching my videos and stuff like that, please make sure that you are looking at everything with a critical eye, not just from me, but from everybody. And make sure your friends are doing the same thing as well, because quite frankly, we are all in this together. And if we are going to be able to combat this, this is how we're going to fix it. So that is your somewhat terrifying, well, actually kind of totally terrifying news of the week. And in Google News, and if you've seen a previous broadcast of this show, one of the previous shows, I basically mentioned in the news segment a search engine that is being developed by Google called Dragonfly. Now, if you're not familiar with this, let me give you a primer. Dragonfly was a secret search engine that was being developed by Google for the Chinese government, for China. And it was so secret that Google employees actually didn't know about this. Only a handful of the developers in Google did, and eventually it leaked out to the rest of the population. And it was such a serious issue within the Google organization that the founders of Google, as well as their current CEO, had to call basically a company-wide meeting to explain this and understand this. And what's going on is Google is creating a customized search engine for the Chinese government that the Chinese government can enforce on its population. And the Chinese government, being authoritarian in nature, is very heavily censoring this information. So some of the stuff that they're censoring is political dissident information, anything negative against the government, keywords like Nobel Prize, of all things, as well as other hot topics or topics for debate that may not put them in a good light, such as Tibet, the entire Free Tibet movement. That you're not going to find that if you're using the Dragonfly search engine. Now, it has been ramped up. And the reason why I'm talking about this again is that it's recently came to light that basically what the Chinese government is baking or wants baked into this and Google is doing is that this search engine, which one is being right now solely developed for Android from everything that I've read, is going to also tag the search queries to the cell phone's user. So imagine if the government automatically knew what you were searching on based on your cell phone number. And that's essentially what's happening. Now, we also know, compounding this, that basically there is a social media reputation scoring system for the population in China. So basically, if you are a Chinese citizen living within China, everything that you post on social media runs through a filter and is scored by the Chinese government. You get points for this. If you start losing points or getting too many points, I can't remember if more points is bad or less points is good, whichever it is, if you start moving into that bad territory, they will start restricting things from you, like public services. So, for example, most of the China and their major populations takes public transportation to get to work. Well, imagine if you're saying disparaging things about the government or searching on things you shouldn't be, and that's lowering your reputation score, and they simply say you can't take the bus or the subway anymore. That's what's happening in China. And so this is a serious, serious issue, especially coming from a company that says, oh, well, you know, we respect your privacy and, you know, we believe in freedom of speech and we're hip and we're cool and we're from Silicon Valley and all of these things. And here they are developing a technology for an increasingly oppressive and authoritarian regime that lives on information and data control for its population. Now, the bigger issue that we have here is that once this technology is fully developed and applied, it can be applied anywhere. They can apply the Dragonfly search engine technology into the Google search engine itself, or they can sell it to other oppressive regimes around the world. It's not just going to be for China, as they develop this. And also, as we're looking at this, I mean, it's a serious, serious violation of privacy, you know, like I was just saying. The other thing that we have to look at, too, is that if it's being solely developed for the Android operating system, it is very possible that Google may lock down the entire Chinese population as a customer base because the Chinese government may force all of their citizens to buy Androids so that they can enforce using Dragonfly in the population. And if it's not developed for Apple, they're basically cutting Apple out of the market. And that's a huge issue. That's got to be a serious concern for Apple right there. Because China is a burgeoning and exploding market. I mean, I've personally been to the Apple store in Beijing, China. It is enormous. It is absolutely huge. It's like four or five floors. It's nuts. And so Apple has a massive presence there. And if Google is able to position this because they can offer something that Apple cannot, which is a very restrictive search engine based on their search engine technology, Apple might see themselves go away in China, which obviously does not bode well for that company. But that is the news of the day. And, if you know anybody at Google, I would definitely ask them about this because I am not a fan. And I think anybody that enjoys privacy and the ability to deliver free and open information is not a fan of Google's Dragonfly project. So please make sure you're aware of that. And in infection news, if you're using one of the major browsers out there and you type in an address to go to wherever you want to go into the address bar of that browser, it may not be taking you to where you think. There has been a recent infection going around that basically hijacks the address bar, puts its own address bar in place, the infection. And when you're typing in, you know, Google or wherever you want to go, while it says it's taking you to Google, it may actually be taking you somewhere else, like a phishing site to gather information or other stuff. And you may not necessarily know that this is happening. This is a new infection that is going around. And so you got to make sure that you have a good antivirus on your computer. That antivirus is up to date. Run it periodically. You may also want to make sure that if you have a whole bunch of plugins or add-ons to your web browsers, that a lot of them are disabled. I personally run no add-ons, just to make sure that it is more safe, for me to do that. But if you don't have any kind of protection in place, or even what's called a DNS filter that basically makes sure that your internet connection, it's like an agent that you install onto your computer, it routes you to their service, then you're not going to know that you're not going to Google, because it may look exactly like Google. It may tell you it's Google, but it's not actually Google. That's a serious problem that we have to be aware of. So please take the steps I just mentioned and keep yourself online and keep yourself safe, but make sure that your web browser is virus-free. And in presidential/government/emergency news, Depending on when you hear this broadcast, you've either received a text message from President Trump if you're in the United States, or you're about to receive a text message from President Trump. Now, what's going on is FEMA, or the Federal Emergency Management Agency. In 2012, they created something called the Wireless Emergency Alerting System that would allow FEMA to contact large swaths of the population, whether it's geographically or the entire nation in one shot. But it also gives the ability for the president to address the nation through text messages in an emergency. So let's say a disaster is coming, incoming nuclear missiles from North Korea or something like that, God forbid. The president can then basically send out a text message to the entire population instantly saying, this is your president, here's what's going on, or here's what we're ordering, or, you know, whatever it is, to keep the country alerted, informed, and safe. Now, FEMA has never tested this system until basically now. And so they've had it for 6 years. They've never pushed it out. And what we've seen is something, what we're going to see rather, is something very similar to if you've ever gotten an amber alert or a flood warning on your cell phone. It makes this high pitched noise and then it alerts you to, you know, whatever it is. And it's basically going to use that same tone, but it's going to be coming from President Trump. Now, the first message basically says this is a presidential alert. This is a test. No need to do anything. They are literally just testing the system. And so that is supposed to be happening, you know, right about now. So again, depending on when you are hearing this broadcast, you've either already been through this, and so this is old news, or surprise, you're about to get messaged from Trump, President Trump. So by virtue of this, there have been a lot of pros and cons that have come out of this. A lot of people say, well, we currently have a president that is rather prolific at tweeting. Whether he's tweeting innocuous things or political things, could this be used as a political weapon? Now, the agencies that are in charge of this say, no, absolutely not. This is not going to be used as a political tool for any president to basically just text the nation his or her thoughts. It's going to be a tool only for legitimate national emergencies and disasters and all of that. So we'll see how that works, and hopefully that will be the case. But that is your emergency alert / getting texted by the president news of the day. You're listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show. We'll be back right after this quick message.